the Mitzvah of Lomdah first in Eretz Yisrael, and I think and about 7 years ago, is that right? About 7 years ago you started.
Beginning first of a bit, 5 years ago.
5 years ago, really, it was just after then. Mm-hmm. That's when we met. Just when the whole question of the aeroplane flying over Holon, mm-hmm. it was just over the aeroplane, when the flight went from Ben Gurion on its way to, whether it was Europe, whether it was America, it was flying over the cemetery. If you remember, the main thing was, you remember when I came, I came via Ovda. I came by Ovda, so I couldn't leave by Lod at the time because of the problems that were there. And although the plastic bag was a possibility, but putting 6 children in a plastic bag was something that my Rebbe, Reb Nissim Kurelitz, since we have a common Rebbe in that respect, very much advocated against, not for halachic reasons, but really because he felt that that was certainly unsympathetic to the times of terrorism and people doing rather strange things to get everybody into a panic. And therefore we flew via Ovda in order to be able to come here. And the first year I gave here was about this. Since then, Rav Lombard, together with his partner in very much an awareness attorney, Rav David Munk from the Munk family, they have been working together, and Rav Lombard is particularly useful since he is not a Kohen. So he is able to go and see the site and be able to evaluate what the situation is and report back. Since then they've merged together with their American counterpart, Vard Mishmeres Kahuna, and they're working together in a very sensible and shalom, as Kahuna Irvim Shalom wrote in Shalom, the Rav Lombard is himself a Kohen, but Sother Kahuna, and the various situations, the Metzir, is handed over to Gedolei Olam right through across the world. A collection of Psukim is gathered together so that there is a common discourse, and some sort of an arrangement is reached as far as Psach is concerned to help Kohanim and to help those who drive Kohanim to in various places. In fact, Rav Lombard come over here as well to be able to evaluate various sites over here where there are potential problems, to see whether the problems exist, don't, and if they do, what we can do about it, how we can best deal with the situation. So it really is a privilege. Rav Lombard is here from Sunday, came over for Thursday night. We're very privileged to have Rav Lombard here for sure.
I want to thank the Rav very much for arranging this year. People for coming. I'm just curious, are the Kohanim? Yeah. It's interesting. One of the reasons I'm asking is it's interesting that very often if you ask someone a non-Kohen, even a Kohen sometimes, who are Kohanim in your shul, in your neighborhood, scratch their head and they think a while and ask the Gabbai, maybe he might know. He might remember. He'll probably have to pull out his list to figure out who's a Kohen. It used to be the indentures. It used to say the beginning of the benching was Birshus HaKohanim. And there's a whole tumult in Aloha whether that helps to say Birshus HaKohanim. I mean, did you ask them if they gave Rishus or not? It doesn't help to say Birshus HaKohanim. Did they give Rishus? Didn't they give Rishus? But they solved that problem nowadays. Baruch Hashem, they took it out of the printers, just took it out. And we don't ask anymore. And so the awareness of Kahuna has dropped to almost nil. It used to be Kahuna was a very important function called Yisrael. The Keorah for Leila Seder, so they used to bake the 3 matzahs for Leila Seder for the Keorah. They used to say when they put it in the oven they would say Kohen. That's going to be the top matzah. And then they would say, the next matzah they would put in, they would say Levi. And the third one they would put in was Yisroel. Kuna was a whole... Kuna was a central part of Kali Yisrael, and people used to be much more aware of it. And we're trying, Be'ez Hashem, to bring the awareness back a little bit in two areas, because there's two mitzvahs to Reise. The one mitzvah to Reise is a mitzvah of Vikidashtoi, of being Mechabed Kehunam, Mechabed Kohanim. The second mitzvah to Reise, that's an Ese, mitzvah Ese. There's another mitzvah Leisase, of the prohibition against becoming Tom and Lames. The second issue is actually where we started, and it's probably the main thrust of what we do, because first of all, a lav comes before an essay, as far as the severity of it, and secondly, because the issue of tumas mes is a new issue. How could it be a new issue? It was given through over 3,000 years ago. How could it be a new issue? The answer is that modern society, modern way of life, has made this halacha extremely prevalent in a way that it never was before. So in tshuvas, over the generations, you'll find very, very few tshuvas discussing the inyan of Isur Tumas Mes. I was, for example, I was in a hospital in Eretz Yisrael. The Rav asked me to come and take a look around the hospital that should give him some advice about, you know, what needs to be done for Kohanim. And at one point he turned to me and said, tell me something, I don't understand. I learned to be a Rav. I learned Basal B'cholov, I learned Yilchus Shabbos, I learned Bikuch, various things that a Rav needs to know. And this issue, no one even raised, no one even discussed. Why were we left out? He said, I tried to call several people to come check out the hospital, and I couldn't get anybody to come check it out for me, and I don't know, I was lost. So I asked him, this was a Safar of the hospital in Eretz Yisrael. So I asked him, what did a Safar of the hospital look like 20 years ago? And he started laughing. And I knew why he was laughing. I said, why are you laughing? So he said, the veteran doctors in the hospital still refer to the eye department as department number 20, and the internal department is department number 15. Because a Safar of the hospital 20 years ago was a row of little buildings, not even buildings, like a two-room structures in rows. I think it was rows of 10. So there was 1, 2, 3. There was big numbers on each building, and that was, you know, when you wanted to go from one department house to the other, but you had to go out in the rain. So if there was a shaila of tumah in one of the departments, that was it. I mean, there was people knew there was a nifto there, whatever it was, and that was the end of that. Nowadays, he said, you know, you're talking about a four-building hospital with obviously connected with underground, you know, connections. Each building is seven floors with wings and with... You're talking about a huge hospital. And so this is a question of 20 years. 30 years, whatever it was. But so no. The whole story changes. There's a tshuva of Moshe Feinstein. He talks about Shaila that Kohen can go into a hospital. So he says, we can be mekel for the following reasons. Number one, who said there's a nifta in the hospital right now? Maybe yes, maybe no. And if there is, since there's roiv non-Jews in the hospital, so we can be toiled that it's a non-Jew. A non-Jew, the tumor of a non-Jew, the gabay tumas oyel, is a machlekes rishonim, machlekes anayim, amoraim, rishonim, machroinim, etc. It's a machlekes, and since it's a machlekes, so he's been telling other speakers, etc. Maybe there's closed doors, whatever, and therefore he says it's okay to go at the hospital, the tzerich, whatever. He said even in a big hospital like Bellevue Hospital in New York, it's not bold there'll be a niftel there at any given moment. So I was just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Mount Sinai Hospital in New York, in Manhattan. And I asked the chaplain there, I said, what's the rob, whatever. I asked him, can you compare Bellevue Hospital to Mount Sinai Hospital in terms of size? So he said, I don't know exactly, but it's Mount Sinai Hospital is around 7 times the size of Bellevue. Okay? So the tshuva of Moshe just fell out I'm not saying that the maskona is wrong. I'm just saying we have to reevaluate the situation given new facts, and that's basically why these issues are new issues, because the facts are changing rapidly. There was a shaila, for example, in tshuva's brought down. The shaila is: are you allowed to fly in an airplane? Maybe it'll go over a graveyard. So there's a long correspondence between Rav Gifter and Yaakov, I think, discussing it back and forth. And one of the reasons they make it is because there's no way of knowing if you're going to be going over a graveyard or not, because a pilot can't tell exactly what he's over. Now, obviously, nowadays it's not true. A pilot can tell you exactly, within inches maybe not, but definitely within a couple of yards, no question, exactly where he is at any given point. And he can know, he has a map, he knows, you can just ask him, he'll tell you exactly, what tombstones is going over right now. So again, that also becomes inapplicable. There's other reasons to be makel on questions of flying over graves. I'm bringing some examples of why things are changing. I was saying a shiur in a certain shul about the issues of kohanim driving over, it was actually a question of driving underneath trees, where there's next to a cemetery. It was in a shul, it was right next to a cemetery, and it was a one-way street, and if you continued on the same road, you had to go underneath a tree that was going over the cemetery. So the Kohanim had to park in a different street and walk there. It was very difficult. So I was saying shir there, and afterwards a certain Kohen came over to me. It was a Sephardi shul. And he said that the Vadia just came out with the 10th volume of Shutya B'Oimel. And in there, there's a tshuva saying that he's mekel, that you can drive over graves, under trees, going over graves, etc. He says, when did the tshuva come out? He said it came out maybe a month or two before, whatever it was. I had no reason to know about it. I said, I'll look it up, and we'll see. And I looked it over carefully. Taki's his mekel. And it didn't make so much sense to me, because there was Aika Hosam in Aseta, and I checked out some of his Mekoiris that he was quoting, and I realized that this tshuva was probably written at least 60 years ago. It was just printed, but it was probably written at least 60 years ago. And the discussion there was about a car made of wood, because he quotes another poisek, he refers to another poisek, and there that poisek says, even though the car has pieces of metal in it, it might even be coated with metal. But still, this question if the ikal is the coating or the car itself, which obviously is not metal. Okay? So again, situations are changing. Cars are made of metal nowadays. Now the question is, there's new alloys. Are the alloys metal, not metal? What are they? These shilas are constantly, as mitzias changes.
What's the difference?
Between alloys.
Between made of wood or made of metal.
Okay, so the difference is that a large vessel made of wood can block tumor from going to what's inside it. In certain situations.
If it's sealed.
And let's say we're talking about a closed car. The car is closed. Now the problem with the car...
The old coaches were
horse-drawn coaches
would have been
right.
Sealed. A car made of wood couldn't have been sealed, because you wouldn't have had any entry for all the gearbox and everything. So I don't think it would be.
It did make a difference. He was discussing actually driving over a bridge. That was his discussion there, and therefore the discussion was the chassis would block the tumor from going up. And so it could be open on the top, it didn't make a difference. The problem is that a utensil made of wood does not block tumor from going through. A building made of wood will block tumor. The question is, a vehicle, is it considered a utensil or is it considered a small building? So it's a mobile building. So that you get into gray areas, and that's what the discussion is about as far as cars are concerned. But that's all when the discussion is about a wooden car. But as soon as it's made of metal, the whole question becomes irrelevant. And so you have, I mean, unfortunately, I've heard people, you know, quoting this psak and that psak, and you didn't look up the psak. The psak is talking about a different mitzvah altogether. So these things are very important to go through and make sure that there's a correlation between the tshuvas and the mitzvahs and back and forth. So that's just, you know, a sort of a little introduction of what's going on. And that's why the issue of the prohibition of tumas mes is something that all of a sudden needs to be reevaluated, rethought, and retaught as well, because kanim were used to certain things, and all the rules changed on them, and they feel like, wait a second, you know, what was wrong with the old rules? We liked them; it was much easier. But things changed. If you have, for example, questions of flights with coffins in them. The question is, can a Kohen fly with a coffin in the airplane? Discussions back and forth, different response about it, whatever. And the main problem is that unlike basal v'chalav, unlike other areas in halacha, where you open up a tool and a beis yosef, and it brings all the mekoyros, and then you have a shulchan aruch discussing it, and whatever, here, nothing. The beis yosef brings down that since the Rishonim brought down only a few scant examples, so he's not going to start rebuilding, you know, the whole structure from scratch. He just brought down whatever examples were brought down, and he says before Ha'ikah Chosam in Asefer that the main halachas of Olois he did not discuss. So what do we do now? We're missing the whole framework of Psak Halacha. And therefore you'll have poskim who will quote things out of context and out of whatever, because it's not their fault. Because they're used to having a certain framework within which they can say whatever they want. But when there's no framework and you start saying whatever you want, so you just go completely outside the ball field. And so that's what we're trying very hard to build up, this the framework. We hope, Be'ez Hashem, to one of the reasons I came to England is to start a sort of a virtual koilo. It's a new idea in Olam HaTorah. A virtual koilo means that we want to have a group of Talmidei Chachamim sitting down and writing up the sugyas halacha lemaise, and then presenting it to poskim all over the world, have them evaluate the way things are presented, give their feedback, and back and forth. So we have, you know, poskim all over the world sort of in one big koil, so to speak, with a certain core of Talmidei Chachamim who are sort of juggling the information back and forth. I personally, at this point, I'm sort of in that situation where I'll speak to this poskim, he'll say a svore, and I'll speak to this poskim, he'll say a svore. But I'm too busy to really do it properly, because the svore has to be written down and explained and spoken out clearly and bring evidence and counter evidence. That's how solid buildings are built. And if we want a psak bol to come out, so that's how it has to be done. One of the main problems that people have as far as different rabbanim giving different psakim is it confuses the tzibur, because they don't know so what do I do now? And unfortunately, very often the poskim haven't spoken it between them enough to clarify between them exactly what the issue is. So all of a sudden, you know, he went to this rav and he said, I heard he said that he went to this rav and he said that whatever, and he said that he went to this rav, and we're not really sure if he really asked the question right and if he really presented the answer right, and it becomes tremendous confusion. Whereas if you have the poskim interacting before it comes down to the tzibur, so, and it's presented in a very clear way, he holds like this, and he holds like this, that would be... So anyway, we have this new invention called a virtual Bais Midrash. We hope to start Be'ez Hashem, if anybody is interested in helping us. And so that's, as far as this, the issues of Tumas Mes particularly, that we're trying to bring across. The other issue we're trying to clear, to actually not clarify so much, because things really didn't change. Our habits have changed, which is our attitude towards kahuna, and that's the mitzvah of the kiddushin. In my opinion, the reason that the kahuna lost its value in the last generation or two is because the Western world believes in equality. Everybody is the same. And the concept that I have to give a kohen precedence, I have to see him as being above me, is almost anathema to modern thought. Lamai says it that's what we have to do. We have to view kohanim as being an elevated species, and we have to relate to them as such, and we have we have to change our habits, our thought patterns, and start being tuned into who's a kohen. And on a practical level, there are certain things we do. So let's discuss some of the things that we need to do for kahuna. Quarter of 9 minutes? So these are a couple of minutes. Okay. Okay, so the mitzvah of the kiddushin is a mitzvah eseh de reise, which nowadays we have, the Chofetz Chaim counts 218 mitzvahs that are noig bezman hazeh. So out of the 218, not all of them come our way too often. Some of them will only come in very, very strange situations. Even a question like Pidyon HaBen, it happened once in a blue moon. Pidyon Petach Chamor, so they make a whole big issue on Pidyon Petach Chamor. The Kiddushin is a mitzvah that we can be mekayim probably more frequently than tefillin. We mekayim it several times a day, the Kiddushin to be mechabed the koyed. The mitzvah is particularly as far as male kohanim, although there is discussion legabe eshes kohen, bas kohen, children of kohanim. Questions, for example, if there's a child who's a kohen, is the chiyu to be mechabed him? We're talking about a kohen who keeps his kahuna. If he disregards his kahuna, he goes into graveyards, he does all kinds of kohanim know not to do. He doesn't duchan on Yom Tovim. He doesn't care about his... So he's lost his privilege of kahuna towards his kahuna. Now, the mitzvah of the kiddushin, in essence, some Rishonim hold that the mitzvah is to give the Kohen precedence, to be makdim the Kohen. Most Rishonim, I believe, hold not like that. The mitzvah is to be mechabed the Kohen. To be mechabed the Kohen, and one of the ways you're mechabed him is to give him precedence, to be makdim the Kohen. And that's what Tana Devi Eliyahu says, Tana Devi Rabbi Shmuel, I'm sorry, says, V'kidashtoy l'chol dovo shebikdusho, Vishtoach Rishon, Levorech Rishon, Vilitol Mone Yofe Rishon. Very loosely translated, to speak first, to say a brocha first, he can take precedence in saying a brocha, and he is served first and the nicest portion. Now, these are three general rules that need to be broken down into detail. To speak first, from there we learn the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, that the Kohen is the first to lay. To get the first Aliyah. By Kriyas HaTorah, there's a special Takana Derabbanon that he can't be Moichel. He can't let anybody else do it. And even if there's, let's say, we'll see a situation where there's a Tamil Chochem who should take precedence, Kriyas HaTorah we always give to the Kohen. There are certain situations not like that. I know there are certain congregations that, unfortunately, for various reasons, they very often will ask the Kohen to step out for Kriyas HaTorah because they want to give the Aliyah to someone else. The disciple was once asked about this minhag, so he said, "Ashena v'kidashtoi." but there is definitely room for leniency in certain situations, in certain ways of doing it. If it's the ma'isa, it's important to know how to do it. If it's done,
the client can walk out himself.
If he walks out, that's fine. That's fine if he walks out himself. He preferably should walk out before in kamoicha, before the beginning of the esek of Kriyas HaTorah. Because as soon as the Oisik and Kriyas HaTorah, so it's a problem both for him to go out and definitely to ask him to go out, because the Chiyuv has already started. To preempt the Chiyuv is possible, but to preempt it means way before, in other words, it would have to be like before the Kaddish, or before Kriyas HaTorah. That's the simplest case of speaking first. But not just Kriyas HaTorah. The main the mitzvah of Kiddush would be Kriyas HaTorah was a pashas of the Rabbanon. Before there was a takana of Kriyas HaTorah, there was still the Kiddush Day. So what is the Kiddush Day? It means, for example, I know very often there's different shuls that they'll have. Let's say a group of congregants who will make a shir together, and they'll take turns saying shir. Rotation. She's the Kohen. Rishus, say the first year. It's called Liftoach Rishon. Not just in Torah, which is a Dovah Choshuv, but even in mundane issues. Although the Drosh is L'chol Dovah Shavu Kedusha, but the Mephoshim explained it doesn't mean that only Dovah Shavu Kedusha, it means anything Choshuv. So if, for example, there's, let's say, a meeting of some sort, and different people are going to speak, and there's no particular order in which they're going to speak. So everybody gets the mitzvah d'oraisa of giving the Kohen the reshus. The Maaseh Emes is, I hold, that at least once a year, Parshas Emor, for example, the Gabbai should clap on the bima before Kriyas HaTorah and say everybody should be mechaven the kabimkayim mitzvah d'oraisa of being mechaven the Kohen v'kidashtoi. And the Maaseh should mechaven every week. Asheni v'chamishi also. Every time there's leaning, people, because we hold it in mitzvah d'oraisa, so mitzvah srichas kavana. And if we don't have kavana, we miss the mitzvah. We did the mitzvah. We laid tefillin and we thought we were doing something else. If you mechaven, okay, now I'm giving the kohen the first aliyah, mitzvah z'kidashtai, you participate in the mitzvah. Gevaldikavach. It doesn't cost any money, it doesn't take time, nothing. Just to be aware of the issue, you have to meet with the Araisa. Again, to speak first in various situations, the Vorech Rishon, Kiddush and Shul, for example, so there's no particular person who needs to be Mekadesh, give the Koyet. The Koyet says Kiddush, Rochot. Benching, the Koyet should bench. If not, the Kohen doesn't want to, whatever it is, so we say, Roshus HaKohanim. Now, what happens if, for example, it's pasnish for the Kohen to bench? For example, okay, there's a family simcha, okay, and let's say bar mitzvah, and the meaning is that the bar mitzvah boy is the one who benches. And he's not a Kohen. So does he have to give the Kohen to bench? The answer is no. If the Suda was made lichvoid, the bar mitzvah boy, and it was al das, and he's going to be the one benching, so the ma'aseh, he benches. We'll see, for example, there's one of the various situations of being chabad kohen, the Gemara brings down. The Gemara asks, how do we know the chosn sits at the head of the table? Where do we know that the kohen did? Shenemal kechosn yichahen pe'er. Chosn is like a kohen. Ma kohen yoshev rosh. Just like it's obvious that a kohen sits at the head of the table. So also, because it's possible, we learn also the chosn sits at the head of the table. Who would think of not putting the coin at the head of the table? Who would think of, yes, putting the coin at the head of the table? But the Maisa, that's how Chazal learned out. Chazal learned out, the Chosn is like a coin. We have to change our thought patterns about kahuna. Now, what happens if we have a simcha? Okay, again, a family simcha. And the coin is a third cousin, or neighbor, or whatever, and I want to put him at the head of the table. He'll feel very uncomfortable. Right? So that we don't have to. When it's a covetic for the kohen to sit at the head of the table, again, it has to be covetic for him. If it's not covetic, he'll just feel uncomfortable. There's no mitzvah. But if he will feel mechubad, we definitely put him at the table, more mefurashes.
What about kohen b'chal Shabbos, if there is such a thing?
So we said before that in principle, kohen is not mechabed his kahuna. So if he's mechal Shabbos, let's say, but he is mechabed his kahuna. Nowadays we find he does everything. He's very careful, he doesn't go to graveyards, this and that, he's very, very whatever, but it's kahuna. Hashtis, I think there is a lot of mokum to be mechabed him, especially since on a practical level, a kohen who feels part of his kahuna and you build it up and you whatever, he'll strike him Shem Shabbos also. That's the.
The case of the some people giving a shir,
mm-hmm.
is the Indian that you just give one kohen the right to give the first shir, and with that you'll mechabit all the kohenim, or does it mean you have to give all the kohenim the chance of giving their shir in before anyone else?
Pashtus all the kohenim. Pashtus. We have to even Ezra on the pasuk Kiddushin. Beautiful Ibn Ezra, I told it to a very Tamil Chacham the other day. He was shocked. He straight away opened up a Chumash, looked at Ibn Ezra, he didn't believe there was such an Ibn Ezra. On the mitzvah of the Kiddushin, Ibn Ezra says, B'machshava uvdibu. The way we think about Koyanim, the way we speak to Koyanim, has to be different. In principle, we have to see a Kohen as being a very choshev person. He was born to be a leader of Kal Yisrael. He was born to be a Tamid Chochem. His Muska B'Koyna Ma'oretz, which Chazal see as being a contradiction in terms. But Maisa, the concept of a Kohen is not a family. The Kohen is not a lineage. Kohen is a term for somebody who is Oyved Hashem. In Matan Torah it says that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and the Kohanim. Who were the Kohanim? There were no Kohanim. Aaron was Nimshach afterwards to be a Kohen. Who? V'bonov. V'bchoyrim. But the Torah calls them Kohanim. Because whoever was designated to be serving Hashem, his life is dedicated to service of Hashem, he's called a Kohen. So a Kohen was born into the job. He was born with the last name CEO. And he either lives up to the tafkid, or he forsakes his tafkid. But that's the two options. It's Mr. President, because that's his last name. Mr. Kohen. Okay? But in principle, the concept of a Kohen is a function in Kali soil. And you should know that I've seen many times that the more a Kohen feels his kahuna, the more it expresses itself lamaisa. And if we relate to Kohanim, as being Koyanim, they will be Koyanim. So, it's our responsibility. And we have to elevate the kahuna and expect more from them. And the more we expect from them, the more we'll get from them. So we mentioned Liftoach Rishon, Levorach Rishon, and Little Mona Yofa Rishon, which means, the simple illustration is, you have a guest, you have three guests, and one is a Kohen, definitely give the Kohen first. Now let's say that a woman is serving her husband and guests. And one of the guests is the Kohen. Does she serve her husband first or the Kohen first? Okay? Now these are Shailas. This is a Shaila in Mitzvah D'Oraisa. I'm willing to go around to the Poskim in London and ask him if anybody asked the Shaila in the last 10 years. I'm almost sure that nobody asked the Shaila. Why not Ribbono Shel Olam? That's my question. Why doesn't anybody ask the question? The lack of awareness makes the question seem, wow. Where were we? So in brief, the answer is that a woman is definitely mechuyav to her husband more than to anybody else. Everything else is secondary. If she feels her husband will be pleased, that she'll be mechabed the kohen first. It's a different story. In principle, she always gives her husband first. And that brings us into the issue of what happens if there's a tamid chochem and a kohen. Assuming, let's say the tamid kohen is also tamid chochem, but the other tamid chochem there is much greater. Who does she serve first? So Chazal learn yekorahi mipninim. Afilu, that the Torah is even greater than a kohen who's nichnas lifnai velifnim. The play on words of pninim. Lifnai velifnim, pninim yekorahi, the Torah is even more yakol than a kohen godel who's nichnas lifnai velifnim. So the Torah is even more choshev than kahuna. Although it's a pele de gazach, the reason we're mechaved a tamid chochem is because it says in the Gemara in the pasuk, Bnei David Kohanim, that they were tamid chachamim, and just like we're mechaved kohanim, so we also have mechaved tamid chachamim, and yet we learn this pasuk that we're mechaved them even more. Okay, we're not going into the drosh of the psukim right now.
I'll call upon him. Up for a minute, then, when we with the alias for sevatera.
Okay, a sevatera, there's a special zera de rabbanon nifnei darkei shalom. Although, if there's a muflag bedure, for example, okay, let's say, for example, Rabbi Yoshev came to your shul, okay, ken zayin it's tzayach to give him first aliyah. We're not noheg like that, but if somebody does it, it's definitely well grounded in halacha. So, because again, there's no question of darkei shalom. The question is, why did you give him? You didn't give me. It's not exactly on par with anybody that the question arises.
If a Kohen walks into a room, should you stand up?
No, that's interesting.
Not that far.
No, why not? I think the reason is because the essential difference between a Kohen and Tamid Chochem is that a Kohen were mechaved because of his potential. He was born with the potential to be a leader of Kal Yisrael. And the more we respect him and elevate his rank, the more chance he really will be a leader. A Tamid Chochem we're mechaved because he is a Tamid Chochem. We're not mechaved because of his potential, but because he realized his potential. And therefore, he's greater than a Kohen as far as that's concerned. Because he not only has potential, but he realized his potential. And therefore, we stand up for him, just like we stand up for a father, for example. Okay? A father, we not mechaved because he's potentially a father, because he is a father. Okay? So kahuna, we're mechaved as the potential, and we elevate the potential, but we don't stand up for a kohen, because unless it's tamid chochem, which we stand up because it's tamid chochem. But as far as the potential is concerned, we don't stand up for potential, we stand up for the real thing. Tzedakah, for example, it's brought down to Shulchan Aruch. Let's say I want to give. I have a desire to be machzik a tamid chochem for my money. I want a bit of a shoot of zvul and yisochel, whatever it is. I want to take one younger man who will sit in Yerushalayim and sit and learn b'kedusha v'tayra, and I'll pay him for it. Is oira need to kikwe? Because there's a din of lahachiyos, whatever tzedakah we give to kohenim first. Besides down the mile of a kohen, the kohen tamid chochem, so also tzedakah. Let's say two anim come to us. Both are maratzu. One is a kohen. I can't give to both. I can give to one or the other. I have an item I want to give away to somebody. And there's two options. One is a kohen. Halacha l'maaseh shulchan aruch, it says that you have to give it to the kohen first. Okay. What happens if I'm in the bank, waiting online, and in walks a kohen? Should I say, please go in front of me online? Although I've been waiting for 3/4 of an hour, but you know, a kohen. The answer is no. Why not? Mitzvah d'oraisa, the precedence to a kohen. The answer is, precedence means, all things being equal, I will give him precedence. If things aren't equal, I don't give him precedence. For that same reason, if, for example, we said that to speak first is a cover for the Kohen, if there's a chair meeting, and the chairman speaks first, we don't give the Kohen first, because the first speaker is the chairman. There's no if. Okay? The same way, this is my place in line. There's no shaykhus to you. If we were going to a doctor, and I had an appointment at 6 o'clock, and you had an appointment at 7 o'clock, so the fact that you came, you know, my appointment is now, your appointment is later. The same way we're standing in line, it means that my appointment is now, and your appointment is a minute or two later. That's it. There's no relationship between the two.
You say all things being equal, if you arrive at the baker's the same time as the car,
right,
then
right,
you have to give him...
Right, definitely. That's where we give the Quran precedence. Yes, definitely. That's right. Another example, modern example that somebody raised, and it's not brought down in any point scheme, but it's, I think it's definitely true, is if you let's say come to a door, you came to shul, you and a kohen. Question: who's going to go in first? The oiro, you let the kohen go in first. Okay, it's not brought down in any point scheme, but that's the minhag is mechaved or the choshev to go in first. You open a door for him, please go in. Never. The Yerushalmi brings down an example for, that if three people are walking, one is a Kohen, so the Kohen walks in the middle. She has to walk in the middle. Okay, it's Yerushalmi. We'll stop here. There's many examples. I think it was enough just to whet your curiosity a little bit and make you start at least asking shailas and going into the issues a little bit. There's at the end of Kuf Chof Ches, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down various issues. He then cross-references to other places. You can look. It's kedai to look into it. I'm very, very much hoping that when my life settles down a little bit from... I just came back from New York, and I was running to something else, and I just came to... But I'm very much hoping to put out a sefer on this issue. If... I'm hoping that Be'ez Hashem, that will be mechazik the kahuna and make the kahuna a very central issue. And I will add one last word, which is that Klal Yisrael was built of 12 Shvatim. The 12 Shvatim in the Midbar were split into four groups. Each group had three Shvatim. Tzofoin, Doroin, Mizrach, Mayrav. And in the center were the Kohanim. The Kohanim, their function in Klal Yisrael is to bring Klal Yisrael together. There's different opinions and different this and that and there's Chassidish and Sephardi and blah, 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 blah. But Kohanim, their function as designated in the Torah itself is to be the focal point of Klal Yisrael. And the special midah of Kohanim is Oyehavei Shalom, Roidfei Shalom, and no question in my mind, the more we're mechazik the kahuna, the more we'll be mechazik Shalom in Klal Yisrael. And Achdus in Klal Yisrael. Diversity, fine, but achdus, in diversity. Be'ez Hashem, we should be zoiche that Mehira, all the Kohanim, should come all together with you. And it's something to think about. When next time you mechabed a Kohen, you think to yourself, I might need him tomorrow. When I come, when there's a long line waiting to bring kolbonis and this and that, Efshal, maybe he'll bring my kolbon first. He remembers me, I was mechabed him. Be'ez Hashem.
Very good. I'll just finish for a moment if I can, just with a little personal by thanking Rav Lombard for this very, very great awareness. On the last point that Rav Lombard mentioned, when my father made his first trip to Eretz Yisrael, my parents went together and they went on one of the foreign tours and they went to various places. And on the way, inevitably, they were very tzaddikim, but the coach stopped us. My father stayed inside the coach, my mother went out. And everybody filed out of the coach. My father sat there with a sefer. Someone came up to my father and said, "Tell me, how do you feel? We're all going into the kibbutz, the beacon, or the mishpal, and you sit there in the coach outside." And my father answered, as quick as a flash, he said, "To tell you, he said, she's born a day from Mikosh, from here, Grenada. I'll ask you the same question. I go inside and you stay out. I ask you, I say to you, how does it feel like to stay out and like this is Mitzvah Hashem. We look forward very much to Mitzvah Hashem. The Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and who knows Hatkalzus, with this heightened awareness, I'm very happy. A lot of support says it to Rabbi Lombard for this work. And who knows if this isn't our chonah? Who knows if there isn't one building block in that chonah to prepare the kohanim to be the Gemara has two days? Are the kohanim the shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept Klal Yisrael's korbanos, or are they the shluchim of Klal Yisrael to bring their korbanos? Whichever way around this is, I'm sure it's a mixture of both.
Again, I heard from the Bible Cohen.
Yes.
He said, "Lemaise, the Kohanim bring our korbanos to Hashem. That's one function they have. The other function is they bring brocha from Hashem down to Klal Yisrael.
Yes.
So they literally bridge
the two pirushim in Vani Avorchein. So here they should be in Hashem. May this be the Chazos, like the Shpol who sends Rav Nonda, the Bard, and all those who are together with him. And may this be Chazos. May we be Zeicha still in our days in Heirbe Meimu, still before the 3 weeks that they are in front of us. May we be Zeicha to the thing of this Hamikdash in Heirbe Meimu, in Zusha, the town.
Amen.